Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 2766.
Identify a person who had a significant influence on you and explain the influence.
My grandmother went to college when she was 15, and that was in a time when women didn't really go to colleges, and if they did, they went for teacher schools and stuff like that. So she went and got a chemistry degree and then ended up working in a very large pharmaceutical company and became an executive there and worked there for like nearly 50 years. And yeah, at like the top of her career, she looked around and saw that she wasn't being promoted anymore and that men were being promoted above her who had less experience and less degrees and stuff. And so she like stood up to the executive board and made this whole big, you know, she stood up for herself and made her voice heard, even though she was, you know, definitely all alone in that matter. And so I really respect that and her whole motivation in life and the inspiration that she has there.
What do you aspire to be?
I aspire to be a good person to everyone, regardless of who they are and maybe how they treat other people. I think that's probably the hardest thing to do, is to treat everyone fairly and equally. So I really want to be a fair and good person to everyone, despite, you know, who they could be and what they do.
How would you describe yourself as a human being?
I think above all that I'm a loyal person. I really enjoy standing with people and having close friends, a few really good close friends, and close family. I think if you can be a support for someone, that you can really contribute to, you know, the welfare of those around you and society in general. So I aspire to help others and be loyal in that respect.
Describe the world you came from and how that world shaped who you are.
So I come from a family of a lot of medical professionals, and I think that background of always hearing about, you know, medicine and helping other people really shaped me in terms of my outlook on the world and how I want to impact the world. And, you know, just having the medical perspective changes the way you look at other people and their own situations.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have, and why?
I think that most admirable qualities a person can have would be honesty and forgiveness. And specifically with forgiveness, I think that that's something that's very difficult for us to do, is to forgive people for, you know, any perceived ills. And if you're able to overcome anything that someone's done to you, I think you can really grow as a person, and you can create a friendship out of, you know, maybe a relationship that doesn't seem possible to be friends. So forgiveness is probably the best.
What quality do you like best in yourself, and what do you like least?
Firstly, I think that I'm probably too shy, so I think I like that quality least in myself, and I would like to be more outgoing. The quality I like best in myself is that I don't think that I judge people based on their appearances. You can't always judge a book by their cover, and I know that's cliche, but it's really true, and I've made friends with people who aren't necessarily just like me because I didn't judge them.
What kind of values did your parents instill in you that you would like to pass on to your own children?
My parents both are pretty highly educated, spent a lot of time in getting degrees, and I know growing up that they always inspired me to do well in school, and we always did cultural experiences and went to plays and museums and these kind of things. So I have that passion and thirst for knowledge, and I want to pass that on.
Tell me how you like to spend time with your family.
I spend a lot of time with my family doing, you know, normal stuff like dinner and movies and just hanging out. But one thing I really enjoy doing is playing golf with them. And mainly because we're all so terrible and we don't keep score, but we just have such a great time. And like the one shot, you know, out of the whole day where one of us does really well is something we all can kind of share in and experience and feel good for each other. So
tell me about the most cherished present you ever received for your birthday or holiday, and tell me why this present was so special.
This might sound superficial on the surface, but the best present I ever got was a PlayStation 2. And I remember why, because my whole life I grew up having video game systems. Even when we were a kid, we had like the first Nintendo. I don't even know why my parents bought it for us. We were tiny, but so I remember when the PlayStation 1 came out, I was like 10 years old or something, and I really wanted it, and my parents wouldn't get it for me because they thought it would hurt my grades. They thought I would get distracted. So I saved up all my money and bought it myself, and I ended up doing really well in school for, those few years. And then when the PlayStation 2 came out, they bought it for me, and it was kind of like a recognition that I was a hard worker, and I really felt like they were proud of me. And so it seems kind of superficial on the surface, but it was really the first time that I think I understood that, I could make my parents proud of me by working hard. And
Tell me about some activities you enjoyed in your childhood.
I grew up in a very rural area, and we had a forest next to our house. And I also had a black Labrador dog, so we used to always just go in the woods and go exploring, and I'd climb trees, and so I liked exploring a lot and being outside a lot. And of course, we played sports and like basketball and swimming, and I have a lot of friends from that still.
What is your favorite book? What types of books do you enjoy?
I actually read a lot of books. I read a lot of classics. I'm really interested in the Russian classics like Tolstoy and Dostoevsky and Gogol, mainly because they lived in a very dynamic era where everything was changing. They were basically experiencing the rift between the old world values and a new modern society. And what I like about that is that we can apply these things to our modern experience in the world and how society's changing. A book that's 200 years old might speak more to our society than we realize, and I just like to read that and kind of, experience, their knowledge in our generation.
What is your favorite word and why?
My favorite word is disseminate, which means to spread widely. I like this word because it has an educational connotation. Professors disseminate through lectures and papers. I don't know, it just has a good ring to it, and it reminds me of academics.
What was the last movie you saw?
The last movie I saw was one of the original Star Wars. I really like the story of Luke Skywalker. He basically goes from a desert rat, nobody, to kind of redeeming the world and lifting off this veil of oppression from this galaxy. So there's a this motif of coming up from nothing that I think we really enjoy, and we aspire to feel that same sense of accomplishment and meaning.
What do you do for fun? What are your hobbies?
I spend a lot of time reading and writing, and I really particularly enjoy writing, and I've honed it over many years.
Has anyone ever told you that you resemble a particular celebrity?
Despite never seeing the show, I used to shave my hair, and people told me I look like the main character from Prison Break when I shave my hair. I don't know. Never seen the show. I'll take it as a compliment.
Evaluate a significant experience, achievement, risk you have taken, or ethical dilemma you faced and its impact on you.
I actually wrote about this in my personal essay for my college applications. The first time that I made a save while lifeguarding in high school was particularly impactful because it was like 15 minutes, it was late at night, it was an indoor pool, it was about 15 minutes before the closing time. I was getting ready to leave. It was the middle of summer, you're just ready to go home. And I was scanning the shallow end, and then I heard some splashing from the deep end by the diving board, and I looked down there, and there was like a 10-year-old girl who was obviously what's called an active drowning. She was flailing in the water and kind of going under and yelling and stuff. So I jumped in and got to her, and as I got to her, I was about, 2 or 3 feet away, and she just started looking at me and saying, "Save me, save me." And it's been many years since that experience, and I still think about that, and I can still see her and hear her saying that, and the feeling of pride and happiness I had in being able to help her, even though it was a pretty routine rescue. It was very impacting.
Choose a prominent person, living, deceased, or fictional, whom you would like to interview and explain why.
I would like to interview Holden Caulfield from The Catcher in the Rye, J.D. Salinger's book. He's this kid who gets kicked out of his... He's very smart, and he gets kicked out of his private school and goes back to New York City where he lives and decides not to go home right away. And he kind of, like, has all these crazy experiences in the city. And, you know, he's kind of a disaffected youth. He doesn't know what he wants to do. He doesn't know how to react to people. He feels like people are mean and dishonest. And, you know, I just want to talk to him and find out if he found what he's looking for and if he figured things out.
First experiences can be defining. Cite a first experience that you have had and explain its impact on you.
I remember one of my first job interviews. I was very nervous. It was my first professional job interview. And I remember going in being very nervous and feeling maybe a little bit out of place. And I met who would become my boss. And I just had a great first experience with him. He was very nice and he seemed very relaxed and it made me relaxed. And I think it just set the tone for our working environment for those years where we were just comfortable around each other and we just were able to excel together.
Is there a work of art, piece of music, scientific phenomenon, mathematic theory, or piece of literature that has surprised or unsettled or challenged you, and in what way?
There's a scientific phenomenon that I forget the term for, but it says that our tasks, our personal tasks, expand to fill the time that we have available to do them. And, you know, this has challenged me in the way that, you know, we always feel so overwhelmed, and I feel overwhelmed with all the things I have to do and all the tasks I have, personal life and work life. And really, it's a matter of perspective, you know, based on that phenomenon is, you know, we can do a lot more with our time and effort than we think. We just have to remember that it's all about making the most of your time.
Of everything in the world, what would you like to be doing right now?
I really like backpacking. I like, you know, basically going to national parks and you have a backpack full of everything you need and you just take, you know, your whole life and everything you need on your back and just go into the backcountry. And, you know, it's great if you're there with another person or another couple people and you just go, you don't go exploring, you go hiking on trails, but it takes you to beautiful places like waterfalls and amazing overlooks and, you know, the top of mountains. And so it's really fun and exciting thing to do.
What is your approach to life?
Not that I'm very good at it, but my approach to life is to live every day focused on that day. I know I personally have a tendency to look to the future and kind of ignore what I'm doing today. Not that I'm absent-minded, but, you know, just always looking forward to something else instead of enjoying what I'm doing now. So my approach is to try my best to capture each day.
Describe your most rewarding experience.
In one of my first major professional work capacities, I was in project management. And it's a very difficult process from coming from not understanding anything about what you're about to become the leader of on this project to being the person who knows everything about it. So, you know, there's this great experience where you are able to finally start understanding things and start directing your teammates in our tasks. And it's a great experience to end a project and the client really is happy with it and, you know, gives you a bonus and throws a party for you and you really feel appreciated.
Did you have a favorite board game when you were a kid?
I liked playing Monopoly when I was a kid because it made me feel grown up and I liked the idea of buying up all the property. I don't think I ever won, but I had a good attitude and I enjoyed the process of it. And now professionally I deal with a lot of business processes. So maybe Monopoly was always in my blood.
Who is your favorite actor?
I really like Jonah Hill. He's a comic. And what I like about him is that he's not particularly attractive guy. but he has such a great attitude and he has confidence, and you know, it just seems very respectable to me in a city like Hollywood, where the only thing that seems to matter is your looks, you know, that he's able to make such a name for himself and look happy.
What is your favorite dinner?
I like stir-fried tofu with soy sauce and brown rice and fajitas. It's very filling, but it's also very healthy, and I don't know. I like to put a hot sauce on it, so it can be very spicy too.
What is the first thing you do in the morning?
The first thing I do is I wake up and kind of lay in bed and listen to the sound of my coffee pot brewing. It's one of the few things that, you know, you're really excited to wake up for, is the smell of coffee, and you can hear it dripping and kind of brewing, and it makes this loud steam noise. I don't know if that's just my coffee pot or not, but yeah, that's the very first thing I do in the morning.
What is something you wish you could do, but you can't?
Can't yet. I would like to go yachting for a few months in the Mediterranean. Not sailboating, because that's too much work, but just go on a yacht and go island hopping in the Mediterranean through all the Greek islands, and go from every country's port and just kind of experience each country. It's just such a, relatively small area with so many interesting places that you could spend a few months there and just, you know, experience half the world.
Why did you choose project management as your line of work?
Project management is really a field devoted to problem solving. You have a group of people, a client, who comes up with an idea of something they want to do, and then they have to have a project manager, you know, basically take this theoretical idea of something and turn it into an actual product or an actual service or whatever it might be within their company. And so I just like the feeling that you're working towards an end goal. There's something you can grasp. Your tasks change constantly. You're never stuck doing the same thing, because the project progresses and you have to you know, bring it from each step to the next. So I really like the feeling of problem solving and creating something.
If you had to choose a different career, what would it be? Why would you choose this career?
If I had to choose a different career, I'd want to be a doctor. I come from a medical family, and I just like the sense of helping others and being there for others. You know, they specifically turn to you, you know, for healing and for help, and you're able to give them that. And it's just, I'm sure it's a very rewarding feeling.
If you could take a snapshot of your life 10 years from now, what would you be doing with work, family, and travel?
With work, hopefully I would be managing other project managers, so I'd be at a higher level. It'd be great to have my own business. I think everyone kind of likes the idea of being their own boss, and I know I do. In terms of family, of course, I'd like, you know, basically the American dream, the wife and kids and a dog and a nice house with a picket fence. You know, that's not an easy thing to get nowadays, and I think there's nothing wrong with the cliche. And in terms of travel, I really like exotic countries and far-flung places like China and Russia. I don't know why, but I really like the mystique of these kind of places.
Tell me what you would consider a romantic evening.
I really like exploring, and I like the idea of going to like an interesting part of the city that neither of us have been to, and kind of exploring together and going to a unique and interesting restaurant in that part of the city, and just kind of looking around and experiencing, you know, this new environment together. I don't know, there's something, you know, that kind of builds chemistry and the shared experience, and I think it's romantic.
What qualities do you look for in a potential mate?
I look for understanding and honesty, because, you know, in a mate or partner, you're going to be potentially very close to each other emotionally. And, you know, if you're able to trust somebody, if you're able to let them in to your world, then you have to trust them. You have to feel like they're going to be honest and understand you and not judge you for things. So I look for just, you know, an understanding nature in a mate.
What is the nicest thing you can do for your significant other?
All relationships are built on compromise, and a lot of times it's very difficult for us to compromise what we think is, you know, the most important thing for ourselves, maybe professionally or even personally. So I think the nicest thing you can do is kind of forget your own desires and your own personal goals that might conflict with the better situation for your family and for your mate and for yourself in the end, because you want to be with this person you love. So.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
I have a few friends that ended up having fertility problems, something I guess we never really thought of. We were always athletes growing up, and they were very masculine guys, and then they ended up having infertility issues, and it was kind of a shocking thing to learn, you know, because you wouldn't expect that. So I just wanted to try to contribute if I was able to contribute, and help others who weren't able to have children on their own.
Is there a message you would like to add for recipients or offspring listening to this interview?
In terms of the offspring, your parents are the ones that raise you, and they're the ones that give you your values and your understanding of the world and your personal perspectives, and they teach you what's right and wrong. The donor just provided, a basic element that was needed to start a life. There's no contribution to your psyche and who you are as a person beyond maybe some general appearances. So, always remember that your real parents are the ones that raised you. And, and at the end of the day, no one can tell you who you are and what you believe in. That's something you have to find out for yourself.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 2766.